You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, covered it all, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is that day. It is that day of the week. Boomer's like, finger on the button. It is that day of the week that we love. It is the midweek. It is the camel. Play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good. It just makes me feel better every time I play that.
Doesn't matter how much it rains outside.
That's right.
The camel always makes it better.
I know. Everybody agrees.
All right. Hey, by the way, congratulations. You have made it halfway through the week. You're halfway to the weekend. That's all good doings. So anyway, welcome to Wednesday. Yeah, we got a great show laid on for you. 2:30, just in about 20 minutes. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth will be calling in. They gavel in for the session down there. He takes the dais and gavels everybody in at 3:30. So we caught him right beforehand. We're going to talk to him about a grocery tax repeal that he's been actually taking a very personal interest in. So I appreciate that. And we'll get Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth on the phone with us at 2:30. And then at 4 o'clock, I mean, it is Wednesday, right? So aside from the fact that we got to play the camel at the beginning of the show, yeah, Wednesday's the day we do the Grand Council with our brethren Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor, both conservative radio guys themselves. And we have them on at 4 o'clock every Wednesday for the Grand Council. Ping each other with questions and just see what we come up with. All right, and there's still after all that, there's still a triple dipper. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So the very first one out the gate, I'm calling it The Tax Man Cometh. There's a number of things happening. I'm not even going to D.C. on this stuff. I'm talking right here in Alabama. I mean, I've been harping on this show now for tax relief. Here we are in major budget surpluses. Every state around us has introduced some measure of, you know, enhanced tax relief. Alabama's done nothing. But it looks like we're on the cusp of seeing some new things happen. So we'll talk about several versions of tax relief. The tax man cometh, but is he going to collect? We'll see. Number one of the triple dipper. We'll get that going here in just a minute. Number two, oh my gosh. I mean, this one, rabid radicals is what I'm calling it. Now, first of all, I've got some headlines on some stories. The headlines themselves are like stories, all right? It's crazy. But the transgender agenda is even reaching Alabama at epic levels. I mean, to the extent that right now we have legislation going in the regular session down in Montgomery. We also have drag queen, a family-friendly drag queen show scheduled for Birmingham and Fairhope. Whoop, whoop. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Rabid radicals. That's what I'm calling number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, because it is a triple dipper, drug wars. There's legislation right now. You know, you've heard me say on the show that at some point, we're going to have to start considering the narco traffickers out of Mexico to be an enemy of the state. That's where we are. I mean, how many Americans have to die before we recognize that we're losing more people to fentanyl every day than we lost on 9/11? So, yeah, it's time for something to be done on a broader scale. I've been talking about that for a while. Well, a new bill was dropped into the legislature, a bipartisan bill, by the way. And then I'm calling this whole section the drug wars because the consideration is being given now to whether the DOD should have a role in stopping narco traffickers. We'll see. All right, let me jump over here to my comments. So opening monologue for the day. Let me ask you this, but it's not even a rhetorical question. It's real. How many movies can you name about people who were being bullied, beaten down, or having their lives oppressed, and those people in the movie decided that enough was enough and began to fight back? I mean, I can think of several. Sometimes they're the one-man stories, like the 1970s Charles Bronson in Death Wish. or Thomas Jane, who came out in the 90s with his version of the anti-hero, The Punisher. I mean, even if you get down to it, the whole Batman franchise is built on the idea of one man having had enough and trying to change things in his community, right? But then there's the movies that depict a whole community having enough of being pushed around. And they decide to take a stand as a whole. Take a stand and fight back, even though fighting back is not in their nature. They're the reluctant heroes, the whole community. And they just do it because they're just tired of being tired. The two movies about communities banding together that come to my mind very quickly are two of my favorite modern classics, Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall, and the most recent remake of The Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt, all four of whom, by the way, are some of my favorite actors. Now, in both those flicks, a whole town is living under the thumb of the big money oppressor who's not afraid to push them around, abuse their good natures, disturb their peace, even kill their people. Classic scene from Open Range has Duvall's character, Boss Spearman, staring down the corrupt lawman who had allowed his men to be beaten and killed and saying, quote, "A man's got a right to protect his property and his life, and we ain't letting no rancher or his lawman take either." And the townsfolk looked on, scared but in agreement. In the epic fight that happened at the end of the movie, Costner and Duvall's characters were not standing alone, though. The whole town rallied around them. But perhaps the best of the two for that was The Magnificent Seven, in which Denzel Washington plays Sam Chisholm. Sam Chisholm, a duly sworn warrant officer from Wichita, Kansas, and a licensed peace officer in Arkansas, Indian Territory, Nebraska, and seven other states, which he announces quite often. And in that storyline, The Magnificent Seven, the whole town was tired of being tired, but they had no idea what to do about it. So they pulled their resources. They hired good men who were willing to get rough on their behalf. But they didn't just hire other men. If you know the story, then you also know that once those seven men came, they told the townsfolk they weren't going to go it alone. It was their town. They would fight too. So they trained and they prepared and they took back their town. But see, it's not a new storyline, though. The Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt, it was released in 2016, but it was a remake of a version of a movie that came out in 1960. But the 1960 version, it was actually a revised version of a Japanese epic film from 1954 called The Seven Samurai. It's a script that's been repeated over and over and over again. The people get tired of being tired. They bring in people to help them learn what it means to fight back. Why is that a story that resonates? Because it just does. It resonates with audiences every single time. Now, there's a real trend ongoing right now in which left-leaning authorities and pundits, they don't want you to fight back. They don't. They don't want you to fight back. Just take it. You just stare at your boots and just take it. How many times have we seen when the victim becomes the victimized, when he or she is simply doing what's considered the respectable and the honorable thing to do? Say what you want about whether he should have been there in the first place, but Kyle Rittenhouse, he took several years to get his life back after he had to shoot a man that was trying to shoot him during a riot. Or how about most recently, Army Sergeant Daniel Perry out in Austin, Texas? He shot an armed rioter in the downtown area during the George Floyd riots when his vehicle was surrounded by protesters, and the now deceased rioter pointed his AK-47 at him. Well, Daniel Perry was just sentenced to 25 years for manslaughter. But it's not always a violent encounter. How about Covington Catholic student teenager Nick Sandman, who was confronted by an activist for daring to have a MAGA hat when he was up in Washington, D.C. on a school field trip. And as that 16-year-old kid stood there, looking uncomfortable and awkward and just smiling at the activist who tried to bully him, a grown man, the activist was a grown man, getting in a 16-year-old's face, he suddenly found himself, Nick Sandman did, being abused by left-wing media who called him every bigoted name known to man. And then there's the latest example of the hero becoming the victim, with 24-year-old former Marine Sergeant Daniel Penny of New York City. I'm sure you've heard the story, but Penny was a passenger on a New York City subway, and he watched as a mentally disturbed man who had 42 prior arrests for various crimes, some of them violent, was harassing and threatening innocent passengers on the subway. When the man began threatening people with violence, Penny is said to have had all he could stand, and he confronted the man. And the confrontation ended with Penny getting the guy on the floor and putting him in a chokehold and holding him there on the ground, with the help, by the way, of two other passengers, until they could reach the next subway platform and get police assistance. It's said the man was still breathing and things were fine when he was done, but he did die, and we don't know why. No autopsy results have been published to say whether it was a chokehold itself or something else that caused his death. But what we do know is Penny intervened because people were being threatened, and now he's being charged with manslaughter. Radical protesters have been staging their outrage in the public square, claiming that Penny was a racist. We don't know why, because the two guys that were helping Penny hold the guy down were also black, by the way. The criminal was the victim, apparently, and the victim is now the criminal. My question regarding Penny's situation is this. What was he supposed to do differently? Was he supposed to just sit there? I mean, Americans believe in the right to self-defense. We as a nation celebrate and create blockbuster movies, by the way, out of the idea of standing up against bullies and fighting back against criminals. So should Sergeant Penny have just sat there and watched the drama unfold? Should he have watched as a lady was being accosted? Was his training as a Marine to be among the few and the proud, the warrior class, so that he could only use that training in a time of actual uniformed war? I would think not. The answer to those questions, it depends on whether you're a bleeding heart liberal intent on changing our society and morphing us into a culture of sheep, or whether you still believe, which the vast majority of us do, that Boss Spearman was right, that a man has a right to defend his property and his life. Well, take heart, because the examples I gave you, Kyle Rittenhouse, he was acquitted. Daniel Perry's been told that the governor of Texas is preparing his pardon. Nick Sandman won a massive defamation lawsuit against several mainstream media outlets, including CNN. And as we speak today, a legal defense fund for Daniel Penny, it's already raised over $2 million. In fact, just today, Right Side Radio sent a donation into that legal defense fund as well. Good people doing the right thing when evil presents itself is not a new story. I also don't believe that we're going to see the end of such things until Jesus comes back. But I further believe that good people will continue to rise up and make themselves known. They have to. The progressive left, though, wants you to be sheep. They want you to stare at your feet and just take it. But we're tired of being tired. And we do have a voice. And we know right from wrong. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yes, we did. We sent a donation in to Daniel Penny's legal defense fund. And I would encourage some of y'all to consider doing the same. I think the guy's being railroaded. Alvin Bragg, the DA from New York City, once again stepping in to make sure that racism and systemic problems everywhere and the rights of criminals, never mind the rights of victims. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Sitting here with my lawyer uniform on, overdressed for radio.
Your lawyer uniform.
That's my lawyer uniform.
I had a lawyer this morning.
I had a little lawyering. We got the show is up and streaming all over the place. In fact, Boomer, we got how many streaming opportunities if they want to watch the live video feed or just pick up the audio? Where do they got
to
go?
Oh man, if you go to our website at www.rightsideradio.org, ta-da, you can see the video stream. There's a video stream page, and that's where the audio stream is. That is also where the resources are for the show.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, that feels very canned, but it's true. I'd forgotten to say that. So yeah, Boomer, every single day when I early in the morning when I get the show kind of lined up and pull the resources, various news, you hear me rattling the paper all the time, when I get all those, I send them to Boomer. He puts them together for me, but then he posts them up where y'all can get them, because people were asking all the time, hey, that article you had about the crazy thing that, you know, that was, where was that? Well, it's on there, so you can go, yeah, rightsideradio.org, go to the live stream tab, and right above the video you'll see the button for resources. And then we're on multiple, I always forget which ones we're on.
We're on multiple video platforms. So we got Twitter, So you can go to Twitter, and that's either at RS Ruffian, which is the Right Side Radio Twitter, or they can go to yours.
Yeah, at Sin. That's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams.
That's right.
Both are streaming right now.
And then you have Twitch, Facebook Live, our website, and YouTube.
Man.
Everywhere.
You're the master of
Everywhere.
Streaming. You're the stream master.
Stream master.
Hey, text lines are also open, by the way. You want to text in your thoughts? Oh, man, there's a bunch of folks already doing it. You want to text in your thoughts, your input on the show. We'll read them out as we go. The number 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. Bunch of folks already in there. John from Huntsville. If my thing would reboot, there he goes. He says, hey, Phil, I'll let you know I'm getting ready to start my own YouTube show. Man,
whoa,
nice.
What?
I'm hoping my first episode will get at least a C- from Boomer. He said, but I'll be happy with it, even a D- from Phil. Because I have a feeling. All right, John, we look forward to it, man. I'm glad you're getting out there and getting creative. It's good stuff. Frank from Huntsville also says, I'm sure if the gentleman in Texas, I think he's referring to Daniel Perry, Sergeant Daniel Perry, would have been pulled out of his car and beaten to death, no one would have been charged, and we wouldn't be hearing about any of it now. I can't help but wonder, bro. I cannot help but wonder. John from Brownsboro, he says, with regards to the monologue, he says, brilliant. Thanks for saying it out loud. Everyone you mentioned needed to hear someone else say that. So thank you, brother. Appreciate that very much.
Hey, I got a question. A caller just called in.
Yeah.
Could you let people know, or do you know how to donate to the Daniel Foundation?
Daniel Penny? Yeah.
Yes, the Daniel Penny Foundation.
Yeah, go to GiveSendGo. That's the name of the website, GiveSendGo. And just type in on the search for his name, Daniel Penny, as in like a penny, a nickel, a dime. So Daniel Penny. And you'll see a picture of him there. I think he was just like wearing fatigue pants and a green T-shirt when he was in the Marine Corps. But yeah, he was a former Marine, and he's the guy who was being charged with manslaughter following the chokehold, where he was basically saving other members of or passengers on the subway from being accosted.
Should I put a link up?
If you can find said link, you go right ahead.
I may do that.
I'd say
I'll
yes.
I'll have it up in. By 2:45.
All right. Outstanding. our cat herder, Alicia, she's got the link if you need it from
Sweet.
Her. All right. Good deal. Tons of link. I mean, tons of. Yeah. So, by the way, I just said a minute ago during the monologue, Daniel Penny, we just sent $100 from Right Side Radio to support his defense fund. And I think it's a fair thing for anybody else to jump in. Doesn't matter what it is, by the way. Just think about it. The cost of, not buying a pizza tonight, you might buy that guy a half hour of legal services that he couldn't have gotten otherwise. So just consider it. Certainly up to you. Cynthia from Claiborne County says, I so agree with you about all the craziness. You're right. It's not going to stop till Jesus comes back. So Satan is definitely raging. The left is sure letting the enemy, Satan, again, use them big time. There's a lot of wickedness. It's sickening. Enjoy listening to the station. Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate you much. Paul from Athens. he sent pictures in. We were talking about Brittany Griner yesterday, and he said Brittany's a dude. And he sent pictures in of
Brittany with a beard.
With a beard, I saw it. I'm like, man, yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's Photoshop, dude, because I think she's just like a really tall chick. I think just a really tall chick. That's what I'm going with it. I don't know any different. Oh my gosh! And then Jeff from Green Hill says, no matter where Kyle. He doesn't like Kyle Rittenhouse. He says Kyle Rottenhouse was. He still had every right to protect it. Okay, I take it back. His spell check didn't work with him. He's agreeing. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this signal we have right now sends our show way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, now waiting on Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth to get on the line, but I know that they were going into session, and he was trying to squeeze it in between some gavelings. So while we wait on that, let me just go ahead and introduce the topic. So the tax man cometh. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. So the tax man cometh. What does that even really mean? Well, I got a number of things that are happening in Montgomery because they're in session right now, and these are designed efforts to reduce your tax burden. That should get everybody's attention. I mean, this is big doings. Because I'll say it's big doings on a variety of ways. It's big doings for the fact that just 10 years ago-ish, well, 13 years ago. Good Lord, it's been 13 years. 13 years ago when I was elected to the Alabama State Senate, we had nada. We had nothing. We were in deficit. The Democrats had ruined the budgeting processes. We had been in proration for several years prior. Proration basically means your budget isn't balanced, and so you basically have to cut the budget in mid-year. You prorate it down. Well, we were in a bad way. So number one, we have surpluses now. Big doings. That's great. Number two, every other state in our region has done some measurable effort towards tax relief. Some of it was temporary, like suspending the gas tax during COVID, trying to lower the cost of groceries, pushing back on income tax, and like Mississippi cut their income tax significantly. All said and done, this is big because Alabama has done none of that. None. Now, I will say this. We are a low taxation state in some ways, in like property taxes. Some of the lowest property taxes in the nation. People move here just because of our property tax. I did a closing not long ago for a multi-million-dollar property, a real estate transaction, and the person was moving here from California, could not believe that the property taxes was lower as they were. Now, we want it to stay that way, right? We don't want to say, well, we'll cut your taxes over here, but we'll raise that property tax, and the liberals love that idea. But they really, I also kind of don't, because Alabama's strange budgeting processes puts property taxes feeding what's known as the general fund, which is everything else in the world it takes to run our state besides education. The education fund gets income tax money. So they don't want to sacrifice that, not unless they can get it carved out to come over. But listen, the things they're looking at right now are actually pretty significant. And I'm going to get a number for Boomer real quick. Boomer, I'm going to hand my phone to you. Y'all, excuse me one second while we do some internals. Boomer's going to try and get hold of the Lieutenant Governor and see if we can get him on. Lord, Boom, I'll find it in a minute. Hard to talk, scroll my phone, and do all the things. This is wearing me out, Boom. I don't know if I can do it. Anyway, bottom line is we'll get the Lieutenant Governor on here in a minute. But there are several bills right now. Justin Bogey from the 1819 News, working also for the Alabama Policy Institute, he wrote a piece that came out just today. It's called Four Tax Credit Bills You Should Know About. And this is good stuff. Four major bills that you got to know about that are going on in your legislature right now. Well, one of them is designed to literally just cut your taxes. Your income tax credits are given for different things that you could do. What's his name? Danny Garrett, budget chairman of the House. He's got a bill right now that would lower the state income tax rate. Right now, we are a state that has 2 to 5%. That's the income tax rate, 2 to 5. He's looking at abolishing the 2% level, giving you tax breaks on some of the lower levels, and then dropping the upper level to 4.75. Now, these are modest, if you get down to it. These are modest, but they're also important. Because I'll be honest with you, I would love to see more. In the era of big budget surpluses, one of the things that I like to say is, if government winds up with excess money, it means they took too much of our money in the first place. It's not like a business where you're supposed to always be flush with cash and putting aside profits and bonusing everybody. No, you're the government. But I don't mind that they did it well enough that they've got extra they didn't expect. And once they get that extra, I'd like to see them start modifying what they do to collect. So Danny Garrett, Republican from down in Trustville, he's got a bill right now that would do some of that. A couple of the other bills mixed in here. House Bill 208 by State Representative Jamie Keel from Russellville. He's got one. It was supposed to be scheduled to come up in the Alabama House of Representatives for a vote yesterday even. It creates an income tax credit for up to 50% of the tax liability of individuals and businesses that make donations to pregnancy and residential maternity facilities. So what they're basically saying is we're a pro-life state, but we also recognize that now that we're allowed to say no abortion, now that we're allowed to say, hey, this is an abortion-free state, the Dobbs ruling did what it did. Well, what that does, though, is it, you know, potentially creates the idea that there are people who would have gotten an abortion before that now won't. And so we're saying, hey, all you good folks out there who helped vote to make us a, because we did, we embedded it in our Constitution, which means the public voted. Hey, public, since y'all voted and we agreed that we're going to be a pro-life state, maybe we ought to do something to, you know, help the pro-life centers that give people things like, you know, mothering skills, motherhood skills, and getting them through the prenatal care and all of that. Well, you can get a tax write-off for doing that donation if indeed the bill passes. Another one we got right now, and this is kind of odd, didn't see this coming. So there's all this talk about gun control, gun safety, gun control, get guns out of the hands of kids, yada, yada. Well, how about this? Rather than controlling guns and infringing on the Second Amendment, how about we give people a tax credit for purchasing a gun safe? You decide you want to buy a gun safe, there might be a credit for there. They also, by the way, in this bill, which is House Bill 375 by State Representative Matt Simpson, it would also abolish any state and local sales taxes on gun safes. Okay. I may be in need of a new gun safe, just saying. House Bill 217. Actually, there's two of them. House Bill 217 and House Bill 368, both of which are sponsored by Democrat Minority Leader from Huntsville, Anthony Daniels, who is coming across this session as being more conservative fiscally than a lot of the Republicans. But Anthony, who was on the show not long ago, I need to get him back on. But Anthony Daniels has literally got a bill that would exempt any income tax on overtime hours, which is cool, and another bill which would give a tax credit to employers who helped fund child care costs. So I'm just telling you folks, there's actually some stuff happening, and I'm kind of taken aback by it. Hey, Boomer, you got him on the line or what? No? Okay. All right. We'll keep working. I don't know where he went. I'm going to start talking bad about you, Governor Ainsworth. But I do want to do this. I've got a bill that I think could make a difference. It's a bill that right now is covered up with support from House and Senate members. It deals directly with the fact that Alabama is one of the few states in the nation that actually taxes groceries at all. And we're going to talk about that in a minute when we get back from the break. Let's go ahead and do the break. We'll take it right now. We'll come right back. And yeah, I'm telling you, we have an opportunity before us to watch something cool happen with not only income tax, not only tax credits, but then looking at whether or not we're finally going to do something about the fact that Alabama is one of the only states in the nation that taxes milk and bread. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, listen, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper here. I titled this whole section, The Tax Man Cometh. But what's nice is the tax man cometh usually means they're coming to take more away. We're seeing several pieces of legislation right now in the Alabama State Legislature during the regular session that's ongoing today that are designed to potentially reduce your tax burden. Some of them are tax credits. Some are potential rebates. Some are true tax cuts where they actually cut the amount that you could ever be, taxed. And then another one has come up that we've been talking about on this show since the day I went on the air. And that's the fact that Alabama is one of the only states in the nation, one of only roughly, I think, 10 or 11 still left that taxes groceries at all. And of those, only three tax at the highest possible rate it can. And a piece of legislation is being pushed through the State House and Senate that appears to have overwhelming support and including the backing of the Lieutenant Governor. So without further ado, we're going to bring in Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Alabama, Will Ainsworth, who's been helping with this legislation. Governor, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, good afternoon, and great to be on the show. Appreciate your friendship. Appreciate all you do for the conservative movement. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, listen, so one of the things that really caught my attention on this is, first of all, you've thrown the weight of your office behind the idea of cutting the grocery tax. I mean, people don't realize that you don't have the ability to go on the floor and sponsor a piece of legislation per se, but you can add the weight of your office, and you've done that. And you've pretty much gotten every legislator on board. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's right. We worked hard just to educate people to use our office. You mentioned, we certainly want to do what we can do to benefit the people of Alabama. We certainly have a bully pulpit. We've used it on this issue. And I believe it's going to pass. I think when you look at the fact that, over 100, House members signed it right at 100. You've got 35 senators on board, every senator. And my understanding is it's going to travel in the House next week along with the education budget. So be in committee on Wednesday, on the floor on Thursday, and we expect it to pass, obviously with 100 sponsors. And then come to the Senate. And then I think, Senate will begin. That'll be after Memorial Day, and, probably take it up in committee on that Wednesday and then have it on the floor on that Thursday and get it passed and sent to the governor. And, I think that's the way it could play out. Obviously, as you know, things could change, but that's in our mind what we're hoping happens over the next few weeks. And I think that's going to be a big deal for the people of Alabama. You think about a $304 million tax cut. That's huge, right? And I think at the end of the day, when you look at inflation and what Joe Biden's economy is doing to America and Alabama, it's time to give people a cut. And I believe that when you have a surplus in government, the best thing to do is not grow government, but give it back to the people. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, that's good stuff. And you're definitely preaching to the choir here on this show. But what you just described is like the best case scenario for any piece of legislation to travel. You're right. You've got to go through both all the committee processes and both floor votes in the House and the Senate and then to the governor for signature. I have not heard much at all from the governor's office on this issue. Do you have any concern at all that she would veto it or just, choose to pocket veto it by not signing it?
I think the governor certainly, she's for, good policies that are going to improve our state. And, I think the governor will support that, and it's going to help the people of Alabama. And that's what she's about.
Well, so that being said, if we got a process with that many sponsors, then the question is just moving it. And one of the things I noticed, a story came out today. One of them was on Yahoo and the other was on 1819. I'm not sure which one I was looking at when I saw this, but that Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, said they may actually substitute the bill on the floor to do more of a cut, because I think the bill has a phase-in, if I'm not mistaken, the original version, and that they may actually drop one in that would cut it faster. What do you know about that?
Yeah, and we've had conversations. I'm supportive of that. I think what they're going to do is go in and cut it 1% now, and then in a few years cut the other 1%. Instead of doing a 0.5% over 4 years, just go ahead and do 1 cent now and good with that, and then in a few years do the other cent. And so same thing, 2 cents. I just would, instead of just doing a 0.5 cent, 0.5 cent, 0.5 cent, 0.5 cent, it would be one now and one, I believe, in 2 or 3 years. And so I support that and think, that's certainly willing to work with House and Senate. Our goal is to get it done, and we're supportive of that.
Well, and the legislation also, it has some additional stringers on there, like, because people don't realize sometimes that all the tax you're paying when you check out at the grocery line, only a part of that state and part of that's local. And you can see upwards of, 9 cents on the dollar in some places around the state. So we're not actually taking away from local municipalities with current taxes they have in place. That would be like, sort of like an unfunded mandate, stripping them of income they have. But what we are looking at doing is saying, but you can't add on in the future. Is that still in the legislation as far as you know?
Oh, yeah, and that's going to stay in there. That's important. What we don't want to do is, so the locals have the ability to tax groceries, right, and to have a sales tax. And so what we want to do is make sure that if we take this tax off, that the locals don't raise it, because then the people of Alabama don't see a tax cut. And so we want to make sure we lower the tax burden on individuals in the state. So the bill freezes the rate the, you know, cities are at on groceries, and then it doesn't allow them to raise it. They are allowed to lower it, but they can't raise it. So that bill has that in there, and I think it's very important.
I tell you, I don't think many of them would try this, but I've got an article here from Yahoo that there's a small town. I won't name the town. Yeah, sure, why not? They're on the newspaper article. A little town of Berlin in Coleman County is talking about whether they need to raise their local tax quickly before this bill goes into effect. And I thought, well, that's kind of defeating the purpose. I mean, but so I would say that people need to be aware that in the next few months, as the bill goes into effect, I'm sure y'all are going to pass it, which is great. Then we need to watch for locals trying to quickly put a new tax in place. And so people need to watch their local referendums.
Yeah, they need to watch that, and that's what we have elections for. If people decide to do that, I'd imagine they won't be in office much longer.
we'll see. Well, all right, so Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, I want to tell you I appreciate the work you did on this. So you've kind of leaned in on it. Since you're not one who can, like, as a senator or a representative, can drop in a bill yourself, tell me, who are your sponsors, and how did you come to be a person who was gathering up signatures for the bill?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, first, it's an issue that I felt, just kind of looking at when we had realized we were going to have a surplus, and, you know, my belief that we need to get a tax cut, trying to find out what is a tax cut that could impact everybody. So that's how we chose the grocery tax. Everybody's got to buy groceries, and thought that there'd be a tax cut that would help everyone in our state when they go to buy, you know, food and groceries. All right. So that's how we decided on that. Then the sponsors, Andrew Jones is, you know, been passionate about the grocery tax, and, you know, and so he was an easy Senate sponsor. Garland Gutcher always also wanted to, and I mean, we had a lot of people that wanted to carry it, but since Andrew Jones had worked on this issue before, I asked him to carry it here. And then in the House, you know, had a good friend, Danny Garrett, that's chair of the ETF, and we served together in the House. And Danny and I go way back from when he used to work in Marshall County. He worked with Dad, and so I've known Danny, and he was, you know, wanted to carry it. Same thing in the House. We had a lot of people wanting to carry it, and but Danny was willing to carry it. And so we've got two great, you know, sponsors in the Senate and House. And then, you know, we just started, you know, me and my staff talking to people about why this was important. And, man, just kind of took off like wildfire, people wanting to co-sign and sponsor it. And, you know, we're thankful for everybody's support. And but really, I mean, it gets back to, you know, what can we do to improve people's lives and lower the tax burden where people could have more money? I realize the fact that a dollar doesn't go as far because of inflation. So this will help reduce the tax burden in our state. It's a big deal.
Well, all right. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, we are out of time, but I appreciate you making time for us today. I know you guys gavel in about 30 minutes, but in the meantime, keep us posted on how it's going. If you see it slowing down or speeding up for that matter, let us know and we'll get it on the show. All right.
Hey, awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're about to head to the top of the hour break, but there you go. Tax man cometh. That's one dipper in the can, but that's your Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth. And like I said, a lot of folks don't realize he does not have the authority to introduce legislation on his own. As Lieutenant Governor, all he can do is lean in on it. But putting the weight of his office behind it, encouraging others to do it, presenting to others why it would be a good thing, is a big deal. And I'm glad to see that finally, after Democrats proposing this for years, but always wanting to raise taxes in other places to offset it, which is just... that's not a tax cut. That's shifting the tax burden. What we finally saw was a clean bill coming in that's going to do something meaningful that everyone will see. When you buy milk, bread, eggs, and bacon, it's going to be 1 to 2 to 3 cents cheaper coming up in the very near future if things go as planned. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two here on Hump Day, on Camel Day. Are you playing it? I saw you reach for the button.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day.
Whoop, whoop!
I just figured we needed to play it again.
I saw the look in your eye.
Like, he's going to play it.
Here I was questioning, and you're like, there's no question. I'm just playing it. All right. Hey, listen, we got good stuff going on right now, and you posted that thing on the website.
I did. Daniel Penny's Give, Send, Go. There is a link on our website now, so people don't have to do it. So if they go to our website, rightsideradio.org, it is at the top. You'll see it at the top in that top section right under right where it says Right Side Radio. It'll be right off to the right, and it's underlined Daniel Penny, Give, Send, Go.
I see it.
Yep.
You're magic.
Right there.
How'd that even happen? Okay, so yeah, that's the guy. If you're not familiar, I talked about it during my monologue earlier about how the left does not want us to take a stand anymore. They want us to be sheep. They want us to watch bad things happen to good people and sit idly by because you can't participate. What's wrong with you? So, yeah, my monologue today was called Tired of Being Tired. And I talked about the fact that here we are in movies and in other parts of life, we celebrate people who will stand up against bullies. But in real life, they don't want us to do that. The left is, and they'll, so anyway, Daniel Penny, the former Marine sergeant who intervened when a career criminal nut job on a subway was harassing and threatening people, he put him in a chokehold. Well, the guy died. And I'm of the mind that Daniel Penny's defense fund is something that we want to support. So Right Side Radio sent a donation into his defense fund. And it's up there for you to have the option to do the same thing. If you want to go to rightsideradio.org, right there at the very top, it says, like Boomer said, on the banner, you'll see it on the right side, Daniel Penny, Give, Send, Go. So check it out. By the way, Give, Send, Go, do you know the story on that?
I don't.
So Give, Send, Go is a Christian version of GoFundMe.
Oh.
Because GoFundMe kept deplatforming conservatives.
They did?
Like, I think it was...
I didn't know this.
It may have been Kyle Rittenhouse. He had quite a bit of money that had been put aside in GoFundMe for his defense,
mm-hmm.
And they basically just stripped it. They just said, "Nope, we're not letting you have that." And the other one was the Canadian truckers. The Canadian truckers that had the Freedom caravans.
I remember this.
Yes, they had quite a bit of money put aside for them to help support their cause. Stripped it. So a Christian organization formed another one called Give, Send, Go. And they don't strip nobody.
I like it. Yeah. Give, Send, Go.
Give, Send, Go. All right, so that's going on right now. Lots of folks in the text lines. Let me jump over here and see what I got real quick. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. Dwight from Decatur says, he says, you said Governor Ainsworth. I like it, is what he says. So, yeah, I mean, I said that. That was not an endorsement. That was... I mean, everybody believes he's going to run for governor anyway. And, you know, he's poised to do that, certainly. But it's like, I mean, I was a lieutenant colonel for a while. People call you colonel just because it's easier to say. So anyway, do not read into that, Dwight from Decatur. Do not read into that. Colin from Decatur. Daniel Penny. Oh, so wait, says that guy's family wants him charged with murder, saying that he was a great person, et cetera. Well, why aren't they helping him? Oh, I see what he's saying. So, yeah, the dude who died was a career criminal who was threatening people. He'd been arrested 42 times. There were some violent crimes in his past, if I'm not mistaken. And all that to say, his family's out there claiming this charge needs to be up to murder, not just manslaughter. And they took him away from us. Well, they weren't doing anything for him before. Man had been arrested. He was on drugs. He had mental illness. 42 arrests. And the family now wants to step up and have their moment. Well, I agree with Colin from Decatur. What else we got here? Dustin from Hazel Green says, I'm for the, He says, I am for the gun safe thing. Those liberties ain't cheap. They are not.
They are not.
Yeah. It's like buying a refrigerator.
Man.
It depends on what size you buy. You know.
That's right.
Brian from Huntsville thought, he says, perhaps we need to go back to being a property-owning family to vote. That mostly removes the mob rules. Never going to happen, though. You're right. You're right. The right to vote is embedded in our Constitution, my brother Brian. Raven from Russellville says, I like the... So my monologue earlier, I talked about movies like The Magnificent Seven and Open Range. He says, I like the premise of those movies. Good men making corpses out of bad men works every time. Oh, my brother Raven's always got a way of getting around to pulling the trigger on something. Leanne from Huntsville says, triple dip day. She's predicting. She thinks we're going to make the whole triple dipper.
I think so, too.
You think?
Yeah. Definitely well, triple dipper day.
We'll see. I might slow it down just because I can.
I'm just going to talk slow today.
I'm going to slow roll this bad boy and just see what we can get done. Thank you, Leanne. Appreciate the encouragement. Bruce from Hazel Green. He says the Soros-backed DAs have a special place in hell for them. Yeah, no doubt. All right, listen, you want to text in, send us your input, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I'm going to jump over to the, oh my gosh, I'm going to jump over to the second dipper. I'll just be honest with you. This is one of those where I have to just stop and think, are we right now sipping tea at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party? That's what I'm thinking. Are we stepped off right now through the looking glass and we are having tea with the Mad Hatter? Because that's the way it feels. All right, Boomer, I'm going to read you a headline. You ready?
Yeah.
Story from the Daily Signal. By the way, this number two of the triple dipper is called Rabid Radicals.
Rabid. Hold on, let me get the jackassery sound effect ready.
Oh. Let's go ahead and play it in advance.
It sounds like one that I'm going to have to.
It's going to. There it is. All right. Here's a headline. You ready?
Yep. Oh, no.
West Side Story singing pro-trans activist arrested at Lincoln Memorial protesting pro-woman feminists.
You're going to have to read it again for me.
The heck, man?
That's just too much to comprehend in one just
it's like,
feeding. I'm just going to give it to you.
I just force-fed you on that one, didn't I? You ready? Here we go. West Side Story singing pro-trans activist arrested at Lincoln Memorial protesting pro-woman feminists.
Wow.
Let me help you.
Okay. Yeah, right? Go on, please.
Let me help you. What that was fake women protesting real women who want to keep real kids from being made into fake kids. And so they were singing songs from West Side Story.
Wow.
Every once in a while when I'm doing the show, I'm like, I don't even know what to do with this. I could build an entire dipper off that headline.
Just that one headline.
Not even the article, just the headline. The article makes it better.
Oh, no.
Here we go. You ready? All right. Daily Signal has this story. It's up on our resources tab. U.S. Park Police arrested a pro-transgender activist outside the Lincoln. I can't do it.
Oh, no.
U.S. Park Police arrested a pro-transgender activist outside the Lincoln Memorial on a chaotic Monday afternoon as tourists watched in fascinated bewilderment. This is awesome. Chaotic Monday, fascinated bewilderment. Like, can you imagine? You're a tourist. You're like, what in God's name is happening right now? Radical activists gathered to protest pro-women feminists who were gathered at the historic monument on Monday afternoon, led by someone who calls themselves Kelly J. Keene. Kelly J., who advocates for women's rights and for biological sex, the feminist spoke into microphones about the importance of protecting children from transgender surgeries. Okay, so what you have here, because I have to break this down.
Yeah, you do.
You have real women who are feminists, but they've chosen on this day to go out there and speak on behalf of children being protected from transgender surgeries. Okay. Then the fake women showed up.
Oh, boy.
The pro-transgender activists attempted to drown them out by screaming, yelling into microphones, and more. The "and more" part's where it gets really funny. Says, as the officers led the activists away from the pro-women feminists, apparently intending to separate the two groups, the pro-transgender activist leading the group began wailing or singing shrilly, prompting one woman to speculate that such antics are the result of mental illness. You think?
Yeah.
The activist then began loudly singing the song Tonight from West Side Story. You can't make this stuff up. Park police told the transgender activist to move away from the pro-women group, warning they would be arrested if they continued making noise. Well, that didn't work. Suddenly, the police were involved in an apparent scuffle. I mean, we've got words like chaotic Monday, fascinated, bewildered. Suddenly, there was a scuffle. I mean, this is like...
I couldn't even imagine writing this article.
I'm saying.
Much less just trying to read it.
Oh. And then there was an apparent scuffle with the group, and the activist who was singing West Side Story songs began running from police. And several officers began chasing that activist. I mean, it's chaos. It's madness. It's chaos. Cats and dogs living together. What is happening? Many of the anti-women protesters at the event also covered their faces with ski masks or medical masks, even though it was a sunny and warm afternoon.
Wow.
God almighty. So let me just go ahead and say this could be a sign of the end times. I'm just saying.
There's so much going on.
I mean, I'm waiting for the plague of locusts. That's what's happening right now.
Seems like something big like that is just continually just going on.
But here's the deal. This is a clear example of what I'm calling rabid radicals. It's getting weird, y'all. I mean, there's always been radicals, folks who live on the fringe, folks who are, you know, just, you know, moving us in weird directions or trying to. I feel like it's like way out there, rabid, in the open, getting like really weird. We're going to talk about this when I get back. I'm going to talk about stuff that's even happening right here in Alabama. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Rabid Radicals. More of that when we get back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. So I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, Rabid Radicals. Coming up top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because we'll have the weekly Grand Council with my brethren Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. But yeah, I'm in Rabid Radicals right now. So there's stuff like, okay, I just went through that entirely ridiculous montage of wokeness a moment ago. I mean... You got fake women protesting real women who are trying to keep real kids from being changed into fake kids and just, you know, what? Anyway, I got one more from outside our state borders before I start diving into things that are happening right here in our backyard. But so here's a story that came out yesterday. And this one, the last one was pitiful. It was funny. It was ridiculous. This one is just sick. Be honest with you. It just is. And I got a couple of those. In fact, you know what? I may wind up having two more stories before I get outside the bounds of our state, or before I come back into the bounds of our state. First one came off of Fox News dated yesterday. Here's the headline. L.A. Dodgers partnership with radical LGBT activists draws Catholic ire. It's perverted, sexual, and disgusting, they say. So what's this? I mean, this one caught my attention. What? The Dodgers? I mean... The all-American sport, baseball? Isn't baseball supposed to be about apple pie and all that kind of stuff and waving the flags? And well, okay. Catholics are slamming the L.A. Dodgers for what they call an alarming and dangerous normalization of anti-Catholic bigotry after the Major League team plans to honor an activist group which is known for shocking protests. Pray tell, who could this be? The baseball team announced, and why would they do this, by the way? You have to look at this and go, wait a minute. When they sat down in the boardroom and the leadership of the Dodgers franchise said, what are we going to do, man? We got to do some wokeness. Do we really? Yes, we do. We got to do some wokeness. What kind of wokeness you want to do? I don't know. Let's go out and find a group of transgender activists that pretend that they're nuns and mock Christianity and make them an awardee at one of our games. Wow, that's a great idea. That'll go over well with our base. Because don't you know that the transgender community are the ones who really show up at sporting events all the time. I'm just saying. Call me out on that if you want to. But it goes on to say the baseball team announced they will honor the LA-based branch of, quote, Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, an activist group of queer and trans nuns, with their Community Hero Award. Boomer, it's their Community Hero Award.
And they just made it up.
Just, it's a
the Community Hero Award.
They're community heroes. Why are they community heroes? Well, because they have a tradition of, you know, blatantly perverted sexual and disgusting anti-Catholic hate group actions, where they don sort of like fake and very promiscuous looking costumes, pretending to be nuns. They mock Catholic religion. They've dedicated their lives to, you know, doing all kinds. Like, for instance, they even, their motto is go, go and send some more. That's their motto. Go and send some more, which is, you know, what that is. That's just a direct perversion of Jesus' words. So they say, go and send some more. And they're calling on the Dodgers, the Catholics are right now, are calling on the Dodgers to reconsider this. You think?
Yeah.
And they point out, and I think this is so well put, they said no other religion would be treated this way. And if the Dodgers truly care about fighting bigotry and promoting inclusivity, they're going to retract this invite to a disgusting, offensive, and dangerous hate group. So I just look at this and go, and I, by the way, I saw pictures. There were pictures in the article. It's like, my gosh. And they're right. No other religion would be subjected to this and just everybody have to be told to lump it.
Right. This is okay, guys.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, they're just mocking the tenets of your faith. So if they for a second had a fake transgender queer activist group that dressed up like, I don't know, Muslim women in provocative, you know, put on the face veils and the hijabs, but everything else was done provocatively and they mocked the religion. How would that go over?
Not well.
Just a few years ago in France, they had a newspaper, and I've forgotten the name off the top of my head, that dared to do a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. And they got bombed.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just amazing. Well, while I'm making you mad, I'll go ahead and read a headline that I'll get to when we get back. You ready for this one? Story out today. Pro-trans activists send Build-A-Queer kits to kids with advice for how to hide them from their parents.
What?
I'm not kidding you, man. This is one that I found after I sent you the resources.
Yeah.
And so you probably hadn't maybe
seen it. I
hadn't
read this one. I just put it together.
When I say rabid radicals, I'm talking about they are willing to get in there and mock our religion, but they're being honored for it. They're willing to get in there and protest people who just want natural women to have natural kids. And now they're willing to get in there and say, hey, and parents, we're going to send these little kits to kids called Build-A-Queer Kits. And you can, you know, hey, kids, it's a neat thing. Don't tell your mom and dad. That's where we're at right
man.
Now. That's what's happening all around us. When we come back from that, I'm going to tell you about that story. Then I'll tell you about the Montgomery LGBTQ rally down on the steps of the Capitol yesterday. Because they had a long march. It was very important to understand. They had quite the march. And then on top of that, our own state health officer, you know, the guy, Scott Harris, the one who shut down society during the pandemic in Alabama. Well, he apparently doesn't like Alabama's transgender laws. That's our state health officer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I like to always say we send our signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. By the way, before I jump back into the topic, breaking news right now up on one of the screens here in the studio. In South Carolina, or was it North Carolina? Yeah, North Carolina, the governor refused to sign, tried to veto, actually, a bill passed by the legislature limiting abortion to after 12 weeks. It was a modification of their state law. The conservative legislature there decided to pass it. I think it's – could it be North Carolina? That's Youngkin. No, it's Virginia. So it's North Carolina. They passed it. The governor tried to veto it. The state legislature just basically threw it back in the face of the governor. They overrode the veto, and it will become the law whether the governor likes it or not. So good on you, fellas. Get her done. All right, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. Rabid radicals. I mean, it is so far outside of the bounds now, some of the things that are happening. I mean, we had that laughable story up front when I started this dipper about the protesters at the Lincoln Memorial just screaming and carrying on and singing songs from, West Side Story. I don't know what the tie-in there is, but it's comical. It was goofy. It was ridiculous. It was pitiful. And it was really, like I said earlier, it was fake women protesting real women who were there to try and protest against the idea of children being mutilated through surgical procedures. Go explain all that to me. But then I moved on to my next story. It ramps up a notch, though, when you see a radical agenda of any kind. This happens to be the transgender agenda. But what I'm saying is it's of any kind. I don't care what your agenda is. When you grab hold of a person's faith and you make that the mockery, that's the platform by which you want to take your cause forward, and the LA Dodgers is honoring that as a group of transgender activists that dress provocatively as nuns and call themselves the Little Sisters of Indulgence, whose motto is go and sin some more. I mean, who does that? And why is that being honored? And then here's the next story, and this one's just going to tick you off. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you up front. There's things in here that may offend, all right? This is one of those that when I read it, it's offended me. Fox News has a story came out this morning. A Florida pro-trans group advertises Build-A-Queer kits filled with devices aimed at helping individuals, mostly minors, transition to another gender. Yep, it's called the Queer Trans Project, or the QT Project, based in Jacksonville, Florida. It creates free packages of chest binders, condoms, weapons, and other items, and offers advice to recipients for how to conceal the kits from the parents and guardians. So it's not just, let me go a little further here. The group sent out nearly 1,000 kits to states across the country in the past 2 years, and the small operation has a growing social media presence with tens of thousands of people that follow it. Get this. They encourage strategies for kids to receive the kits without their parents knowing by telling them how to set up a P.O. box. Yeah, no, I got your attention now, didn't I, Boone? They tell kids how to set up a P.O. box or how to have things mailed to a friend's house or even, for that matter, find a teacher who's sympathetic at school and we can mail it to them for you and they can give it to you so you don't have to tell your parents. That's what's happening right now. Build a queer kit, they call it. And so when did it become a thing that you can mess with our religion as part of your protests? And that, for that matter, when did it become a thing that you can approach our children with your sexual prurient lifestyle and we're supposed to go, oh, gosh, little Johnny, little Susie, yeah, I don't know how you got that in the mail, but I understand. No. How about this? Somebody go and find this, what's the guy's name? Or guy, gal, dude, chick, queer, whatever he is. His last name is Sansari. Cielo Sansari from the QT Project in Jacksonville, Florida. How about this? There's going to be a mom or dad show up at your door sometime soon.
Absolutely there is.
You start mailing little kids these kits and tell them how to avoid your parents knowing so that you can transition through the mail?
So I may have missed this part because I was... doing boomer things over here. But did you say how he's getting this out? Like, other than he's trying, he's explaining how to do the PO boxes. Is it social media? Is it
apparently,
YouTube? Or?
Apparently on TikTok.
Oh, my God.
He has videos, and you can contact him through TikTok, and he'll mail the stuff to you. And also on the TikTok, he has instructional videos on how to avoid your parents knowing and how to get the material. TikTok videos show the Build-A-Queer kits, including things like condoms, chest binders, I hate to even say this, but a penis-shaped packer for imitating a male bulge in your undergarments, and other items. And for men transitioning to women, you get things like condoms, bras, makeup, and clothing. And they used to offer a trans self-defense package where they could mail kids things like pepper spray, a knife, a taser, and a coloring book, all free of charge. Let me read that again. To kids, pepper spray, a knife, taser, and a coloring book, all free of charge.
All free of charge. So who is funding this?
Who knows, man?
That's what it, like, that's...
You know what? I don't know. But all I know is this. He's very proud of it. He, she, it is very proud of it. By the way, you will be glad to know, Boomer, this is very important. It's those who identify as Black, Indigenous, or people of color will also get VIP early access as they restock so that you can get first choice on what's in the kits. This is...
Man.
This is beyond it, man. This is like...
Completely beyond.
This is so far beyond the pale. This is so far into illegalities. So you have people that rightfully get arrested when they approach kids online to solicit behaviors from them that kids should never be solicited for, ever. You have predators. This is a predator.
Yes.
This is nothing but a predator who's trying to lure kids into a lifestyle, and don't tell your parents. This is sick.
I mean, it says it right there, how to avoid letting your parents know. I mean, that right there should be a...
And he's very proud of it. He's proud to assist others in their gender change practices after he experienced gender dysphoria and had to experiment with chest binders when he was in high school or something. I don't know. The bottom line is this. What we're seeing right now is an agenda that does not care anymore. It's an agenda that has no boundaries. It's an agenda that has gone rabid. And these are things, by the way, this would not have been allowed just a few years ago. This would have been shut down in a heartbeat. And I'm hoping right now, since it's in Jacksonville, Florida, that Governor DeSantis is going to make sure that somebody knows and somebody goes and knocks on his door and says, by God, we're shutting you down. Either that or move to San Francisco and, you know, where we can't do anything about it. But right now, this is beyond the pale. So right now in Alabama, you may be curious to know there's multiple pieces of legislation going through the state legislature that deal with some issues related to similar. Things like, we shouldn't have gender binary definitions embedded in our law, so we're trying to prevent that. Things like, drag queen performances should not be allowed with children around. Sounds normal, but apparently it's not. Things like HB 354, which would... assume that kids who are in eighth grade, would have limitations placed on the conversations they have in classroom. In other words, we're trying to up it a level from where it is now. Things like making sure that our college athletes play on teams that align with their gender where they were born. Well, we had protesters, rabid radicals showing up yesterday in Montgomery. It says Alabamians from across the state. This is AL.com, by the way. So go ahead and imagine this as being not near as big as they want it to be. Alabamians from across the state gathered Tuesday to march from the Alabama Supreme Court to the state capitol. Okay. First of all, let me just point something out. The Alabama Supreme Court is almost next door to the state capitol. I mean, you can almost talk to each other. So they marched. I guess they were too sore from their gender reassignment surgeries to do much of a march. But so they marched from the Alabama Supreme Court, which you can see. It's a block and a half away. You can stand on the steps of the Capitol and literally throw a rock to the Supreme Court. Okay, whatever. AL.com, it's sad. Marching from the Supreme Court to the state Capitol, holding rainbow flags and signs supporting the LGBT community, more than 100 people protested a list of bills from the Alabama legislature, including bills that force college athletes to play on teams that align with the gender on their birth, force them to play against their same sex. Oh my gosh. Right here in Alabama. A bill that puts gender binary state law and a bill banning drag performances. It doesn't ban drag performances. It's a bill that bans drag with kids. AL.com has just lost their mind. Following the march, speakers gathered to address the crowd, which lined the steps of the Alabama State House and asked lawmakers to spend their time on other issues. Like, oh, I don't know. Let's go ahead and just step aside while this agenda starts sending things to our kids in the mail. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back from this break, I got to tell you, it stepped off into another realm, though. Because you may be interested to find out that while we are a state that has already taken action to try and limit the ability of doctors to surgically alter children, that our own state health officer is just indignant with that. He's even appalled, outraged. Our state health officer. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative, man. We got so much stuff here. I got a bunch of text going on. I just realized the text lines had totally exploded.
Oh, yeah, completely. We both forgot about it. And then next thing you know, wow. And then we got a couple new texters.
Who you got?
We got John from Harvest.
John from Harvest. Yes. All right.
And then Rhett from Danville.
Rhett from Danville. All right. That's cool, right. Man. I'll be honest with you. It's not going to be long until we're talking about measuring our texters in the thousands.
In the thousands.
I mean, it's there. We are pushing. And by the way, the show it's such a hoot doing this every day. And we have a lot of folks who wind up listening to the show through the podcast version. So we're live every day on multiple AM and FMs all across the northern part of our state. I will go ahead and just let you know that we're talking about whether we can expand that footprint even further. But the show is then podcasted after it airs live. And I just saw yesterday, Boomer, we are officially over 143,000 downloads now of the podcast.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's amazing to me. Praise God. That's just cool. And I'm telling you right now, I do not mind saying it. This show exists for y'all, the listening audience. This show exists so that every single day we can do what I call the mission, which is we can do the four E's: educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to walk as a conservative in today's crazy world. But that's the mission. The mission is driven by what I call the message. And the message is that every single day, I do not mind anybody hearing me say on this show that Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and by the way, life is worth living. And that's the message that has just created so much of an audience base in just a year and a half. And so we appreciate y'all, and this is why we do it. All right, so I got some more stuff here. First of all, you may be curious to know that as we look at legislation currently being pondered in the Alabama State Senate that would prevent drag queen shows from being done with children, that there is one currently scheduled right now. Story on 1819 News, who nailed two stories in a row that I'm about to show you. 1819 News, Craig Monger wrote this one, came out yesterday. A so-called family-friendly drag show is scheduled in Birmingham for this Saturday, featuring a number of state-based performers. Here's the ad. Backed by popular demand, the Flapping and Fawning podcast and Birmingham Festival Theater are hosting another family-friendly drag show. The last family-friendly show was a total blast. Fun was had by all. The event is open to all ages. Join the fun and dance with wonderful performers on Saturday, this coming Saturday. Tickets are $15 for adults, $10 for children ages 6 to 13, and children younger than that, the younger than 6, can enter at no charge. There was a similar event planned for Fairhope, but promoters got a lot of backlash and they decided to add an age requirement for that one. That's happening right here in this listening area. Just don't think this is all a LA Dodgers doing their thing or some group in Jacksonville, Florida, mailing stuff out. No, it's right now in Alabama, the same things are happening. We're having a state legislature in the most conservative state in the nation, arguably, having to pass legislation to prevent some of what you don't think happens here, but it does. And it shouldn't have to be a thing. It shouldn't have to be a thing that kids are. By the way, if you go look at the article on 1819 News, you know, I hate to even say this, but the photographs that go with the article clearly indicate kids shouldn't be there. Let's put it that way. In 1819, I know the folks over there, obviously, And I know that they did not want to try and promote this, but they had to show to some degree why it's such a problem. The very idea that children under 6 can get in for free. Wow. That is so generous of you to allow me to come in where you can dance around provocatively, pretending to be a woman. And oh, by the way, you're not just pretending, you're lampooning women. You're mocking women. Those drag queens, they are cartoonish versions of over-exaggerated women. And it's just wrong. It's demeaning. And it's gross. But then I look at the fact that here we are passing legislation, and we are one of the first states in the nation that made sure we had laws in place that says you cannot just try to change the gender of a kid, a minor. You can't. Transgender surgeries and therapies, those are irreversible many times. And they are changing a child for life. A child who may have just been at a point reaching puberty where all they were doing is questioning, and an activist mom or dad goes, oh, see, I knew you were a boy. Let's get you down there and have that surgery. Minors can't make their own surgical decisions. That means a grown-up has to get involved to make it happen. Well, we have banned that in Alabama. But we have a state health officer, Scott Harris. He is not appointed by the governor. He is not confirmed by the Senate. He is not accountable to the people whatsoever. But he's in charge of the Alabama Department of Public Health. He's the one who shut us down during the pandemic. He's the one who helped promote, you know, vaccine tracker softwares. He's the one that wanted schools to wear masks. And Scott Harris, he doesn't like these bills at all. Here's his words. He gave a keynote speech at the Substance Use and Social Justice Symposium at UAB, just the other day. His words, quote, "We absolutely are appalled by some of the stuff that we've seen," Harris said in response to a question by an audience member asking what the Department of Public Health plans to do in response to the state's restrictions on gender-affirming care. Governor Kay Ivey signed that legislation in 2022 to protect kids against puberty blockers and artificial hormones and sex surgery operations. And Harris's response following up from that was, "A lot of this stuff outrages all of us. It's really tempting to want to lash out at people. I'm not critical of people who do that. I would say as a state agency, it's not for us to do that. But any trans legislation, it's coming from these national think tanks that go, what's going to bring voters to our party? So what he's saying is he doesn't like it. He thinks it's wrong. He thinks we ought to be able to mutilate kids. And on top of that, he thinks there's some out-of-state evil influences that just want to get clickbait on the onlines and draw voters into, you know, conservative whack job MAGA people. That's our state health officer. It is high time for someone to call for his resignation. I tell you what, I'll do it. Hey, Scott Harris, you need to resign. You do not represent the values of this state at all. And you are not accountable. And you still have a lot of explaining to do for why you handled things the way you did during COVID. And I think you've worn out your welcome. So I'll just go ahead and say it right now. That makes the second person I've called on for a resignation. I think Scott Harris, Alabama State Health Officer, and I think Secretary of the Army Christine Warmoth both need to resign. It's time. It is just time. All right. Whew. Lord. No more caffeine for Phil.
Whew.
I need me a maple bacon donut's what I need.
I need me some Grand Council.
That's what we do.
This is what we need.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to take a break. Come right back. The Grand Council with our brethren, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor. We're going to sit here and ping each other questions and just see how we do and enjoy our time together. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. And we cover down on all of it, like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, one of my favorite times every single week is Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. This is where I call the roll on what we like to call the Grand Council. So let me just go ahead and call the roll right now. So from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and also the executive editor for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, is you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. And then, of course, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville and also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh!
There it is. Stand at ease. All right. A quorum having been pronounced. Let us convene the Grand Council.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. All right, fellas, you know the deal. We sit here and ping each other with questions we don't know in advance, and we just see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we still love each other when it's done. Jeff Poore, I think you went last week, so you're first this week. What you got?
I guess I'm in the state house again today. The big bill Ishmael was drag queens.
Yeah.
but today it's Chinese nationals, and Chinese nationals owning property in Alabama. Apparently, it's big enough to draw. I'd say about 30 people protesting. What do you think? Is this a violation of something constitutional to forbid Chinese nationals from owning property in Alabama?
So wait a minute. Who was protesting? Were they Chinese or were they anti-Chinese?
Pro-Chinese. Yeah, Chinese. Actual Chinese nationals.
All right. Dale, you want to take the first stab at it?
Were they from the University of Alabama's China student whatever thing?
Oh, you're talking about the Confucius Institute? I do not know that.
That's one of the groups. There's another group of Chinese Alabama students or something like that. Look, I don't really have too much of a problem with this. A blanket ban may be a bit much, but maybe a farmland ban might make sense. Land near military installations and things like that might make sense. Simple Google search tells me that Americans can't own land in China. So, okay, that's all I need to know.
That's pretty interesting, but you know, China doesn't have our constitution too. So I don't know. So first of all, here's the problem I think you have is not just on the Chinese side, but what about the American landowner who wants to sell because a good fair market value, or for that matter, what if they made him a double offer? Like, what if some Chinese national came along and said, "We'll give you twice what your property's worth if you'll sell it to us today"? Should the American then be stopped from having an opportunity to earn from his property? And that's a question we have to address that has to be done legally. But then the other side of this is, to what end? And then do we stop Nigerians? And then do we stop? I mean, I think at some point you just have to look at it and go, national security risk, I see you over there. You shouldn't own property next to a base. But at the same time, do we just stop everybody? I don't have a good full answer on it. I think it's way more problematic, though, and I think it's going to wind up in court. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'd say that's philosophically. I think we had a ban in place with Soviet nationals. They couldn't own property. So we've done stuff like this before in the past. I don't know what the legal precedent is. But where I do have a problem, I think it's a federal issue. I don't think states need to be doing this. It seems symbolic, a symbolic gesture. But I think state legislature, and this is going to tie up a lot of business, I think state legislature is better served doing other things.
All right. Fair enough. Dale, take the next question, buddy.
Jeff was talking about how big of a deal this thing was for him down there with the transgender folks and, you know, they're loud and they're proud and all that stuff. Today they had a hearing and a military veteran stood up and said, "Hey, just so you guys know, people at the White House are talking to me and they're asking me what I think about this. And they're worried about moving the Space Command here. And if you guys don't let kids go to drag shows or cut their dongs off, we may not allow Space Command to come here." Is there any way that's true? Like the White House is like, we need this one transgender person to stand up in a committee and make a ruckus here. I mean, what is this?
First of all, did you come on my show and say cut their dongs off? Did you just say that?
Yeah, I've been working that one in every day on all my shows, so congratulations to you.
All right, so first of all, that's a lie. I saw that video on Twitter, and I got news. If that person is saying people from the White House are calling me, I got news. I am doubtful that there is anybody with policy making authority calling this one transgender activist down in Alabama saying, hey, what do you think down there? What are we going to do? It's not happening. If it is, it's more of like a relationship on Twitter or something. Somebody sent them a direct message. Hey, who knows? But I do not see that person as being the deciding factor in whether or not the Biden administration makes a decision on Space Command, because we talked to our activist friend in Montgomery. Shut up. So I'm calling putting down the big BS card on that one. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody from the White House is contacting the random transgender guy from Alabama. I do think when we talk about the Space Command, there's like how many different reasons are they going to not bring the Space Command to Alabama? I've heard about four, so I keep wondering how long this list is going to grow and be used by the institutional left in Alabama to try to get for some kind of change.
I heard that they're looking at the fact that Alabama has high humidity in the summers as another reason why they don't want to come. I mean, they're going to keep making up things. There's going to be a list.
Well, it's the bathroom bill. It's because we don't allow transgender females to play girl soccer or whatever. I mean, like they keep just adding these things up, and I'm very skeptical of the reasons here. Continues to grow.
I have a quick follow-up question. How many abortions are people connected with the Space Command headquarters getting in Colorado? Are they keeping that industry afloat? What's going on?
At that and the transgender surgeries, how many military members actually need transgender surgeries? I mean, I just saying. Good luck passing the PT test after that.
They can never be deployed again.
Okay, hang on. Let me.
It's almost like being a single mother in the military. You're not going anywhere.
let me jump in with my question before we run out of time on segment one. So, all right. So, just a moment ago, I had a complete rant, and I called for Department of Public Health head, State Health Officer Scott Harris, to resign. I'm just done. He doesn't like bans on transgender therapies for minors. He was responsible for most of the proclamations that came out that shut us down during COVID. He's not appointed by the governor. He has zero accountability. He also has no remorse. I hear through the grapevine that the bill to revise how he gets his job is being retooled. Do you think it's at all possible that Scott Harris could decide it's time to resign or retire, or we could see him forever and ever? Amen. Jeff.
He's in damage control mode, so I'm hearing from a bunch of people today. He's texting them saying he was taken out of context. Watch for stories backing Scott Harris up on this. But as the editor of 1819 News, I can tell you we have audio of it. If he tries to do that we'll put out there.
Nice.
But I think he's gonna try to spin it. The fact that he's out there fighting it tells me that he wants to hold on for this job as long as he can.
Dale.
Where is the governor? And again, I ask that question almost every week, like literally physically, where is she? Does anyone know? Because she can't like say, you're fired, get out of here. But she can go, yeah, I think Scott Harris should resign for being involved in this. So let's pour one out for old Kay and see where she is.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, it's like we had Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth on the show about something earlier, and I pointed out he can't run legislation on his own, but he can lean in with the weight of his office. Well, Kay Ivey could be doing the same thing. Technically, this is her health officer, and she could say, you know, thank you for your service, but I do believe you've lived out your welcome.
Well, guys, her outlaw director's on the ropes, too, today. If you haven't seen the story on 1819 on the lead. But you're right. She's MIA on this, and she's MIA on that. And you do have to wonder, like, who is running the show across the street?
It's a great question, and you know, I think the reality is, well, I'm getting way far afield from my question here, but I think at some point, Will Ainsworth stays healthy. He's a governor before this term is out. Is the way it's looking right now to me. I just can't help but wonder. All right, fellas, I'm going to end it on that speculative note, but we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. We're with the Grand Council. That would be Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and writing with Yellowhammer News. And then we got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and the executive editor for 1819 News and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, hey, we're jumping back into round two of today's Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. And Jeffro Poor, you have the first question, round two. What you got? Did we lose Jeff?
Hopefully.
I think
I had it muted.
Oh, hello, Jeff.
He's a print guy.
Over here, my conversations. You know how these things can go out over the air sometimes. You may or may not be aware of Tommy Tuberville and his struggles right now. But looking at it, I got a question. Is this a net negative or a net positive for Coach in the Senate that taking the stand here and saying some of the things he's saying? I see a lot of my listeners cheering him on, but he's taking hits in other places, and he's lost McConnell. What say you guys?
I don't think he ever truly had McConnell. I think McConnell just put up with him. But McConnell doesn't have a reputation for being a conservative anyway. I mean, so I guess part of this is, you know, my personal bias on the issue. I'm a fan of somebody finally standing up and saying, I see a wrong, and I'm going to hang in there for right now. And if I have to be the last man standing, that's where I'll be. Well, that's, you know, my background, the whole, you know, Army Ranger thing, though I be the lone survivor. I mean, I'm for the idea of someone actually saying, I see something I don't like, and by God, I'm going to take a stand. And I'm taking it on behalf of the fact that my state has laws in place that you're was willing to bypass their DOD. And do I think he's going to start facing some potential retribution and some backlash? Yeah, but then who doesn't? I'm just glad to see somebody who's taking a stand. And by the way, I don't think they remember the fact that he was nicknamed the Riverboat Gambler back in the day. There's going to be some of that background he has that's going to come out. Dale.
Maybe he'll win a bunch and then show his thumb or something. The fact here is he's right. I mean, what they're doing is illegal with the abortion thing. He's correct on that. And keep in mind, all the eggheads, PhDs in this community in North Alabama and across this state, all the smart people in the media, they'll always tell you, oh, golly, if this guy does this thing that we've never liked, we're going to lose this thing, and golly, it's all his fault. And, you know, they did that with Mo, and they're doing it here with Tommy Tuberville, and they'll do it with anyone that dares go against. If they don't let us trans these kids, they're just not going to want to do business here anymore. They're going to pull up the stakes and move. And maybe it's true, but what do? Give in to the terrorism? I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's economic terrorism. Do what we want, or we'll take your stuff away. And I seem to remember Jeff Sessions saying, oh, yeah, well, if you don't want to enforce the immigration law, we're going to take away some of your federal funding. And everyone's like, oh, how could we do such things? But here it seems to be perfectly okay.
Your own question, Jeff. Speak to it.
Yeah, I think it's a net positive. I don't think he's in any trouble in Alabama of ever losing a Republican primary.
No.
But I do wonder this, if this might be it for him and he knows that he ain't going to run again. I mean, I think he's losing the business community. You could just feel it. You could just see it, you know. And then I wonder if that's going to matter. He's probably hearing from those guys. Hey, look, you made your point. We won. So I think it's a net positive for the people that matter, to the people that vote. But I don't know that it's good on other fronts. But net positive.
And meanwhile, John Fetterman cannot string a whole sentence together. And nobody says boo about it. It's just,
oh, no, it's worse than that. No. It's not they don't say boo about it. They clean it up for him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, there was a post where, like, John Fetterman said blah, 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 and it was, like, a perfectly coherent sentence. And someone's like, what he actually said was blah, 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 and fell over. So let's not pretend that he actually said those things.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Who had the next question? I think it was you, Dale, right? Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Jeff knows all these muckety-mucks in D.C. and New York and all these other things. He's a big-time big baller. So maybe he can answer this for us. CNN's losing hours to Newsmax recently. And the Drudge Report indicates that the new Fox News primetime lineup is going to be Hannity, Jesse Waters, and then Greg Gutfeld. I thought Waters is the guy to replace Carlson. He's closest to him, I think, delivery-wise and all that other stuff, and philosophically. But Hannity moving up, that's kind of a surprise to me. Hannity's been there for so long, and Laura Ingraham disappears. Apparently one of the nicest people in radio, from what I understand. Jeff, what have you heard about that?
I'm surprised with the Hannity stuff. But they moved him around the past when they had their shakeup with Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly. He's floated around, and he had Alan Combs for a while, so... I would have thought Waters too, but they're very cautious maybe with him. They're trying to rebrand Fox News. I think that may have something to do with it. just Republican Reagan talking points versus this whole populist thing. I mean, it's two distinct brands, and they're trying to get back to a more sort of philosophical, like I said, Reagan-y type of a Republican conservative at Fox.
All right, so let me ask you, though. You just said Laura Ingraham goes away. I mean, I anticipated filling a gap, but not losing their only female lead in the evening. So they're losing Laura Ingraham?
I mean, the proposed lineup is Hannity, Jesse Waters, Gutfeld, and that would normally be where Ingraham was. Maybe she goes back. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Or would she just go back to where, or should they may move her to that hour before?
Maybe she's going to start doing comedy.
Maybe. All right. Well, fellas, we're down to the wire here, but let me just ask you this real quick. My question, Mobile City Council just kind of surprised everybody by getting an annexation referendum opportunity passed that would annex a big chunk of West Mobile area and bringing it into a position where if the voters approve, Mobile would suddenly ramp up to be the second largest city in the state. So then we'd have the first and second grew exponentially, run by Republicans, and we had the two former largest cities, Montgomery and Birmingham, shrunk while being led by Democrats. Anybody going to pay attention to that?
Well, I think so. You have Mobile climbing the ranks to 114th best city in the country, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Huntsville plummeting all the way down the list from 1 to 2. It might be time to kick battle out and let Sandy Stimson run the whole state.
We'll see. Jeff, 10 seconds. What you got?
Huntsville doing it the right way. Mobile annexing people in. Not exactly organic.
All right. Fair enough. All right, fellas. Appreciate both of you. That's the Grand Council. That's Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, and writing for Yellowhammer News, and Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, and writing with executive editor for 1819 News. All right, Phil Williams, y'all stay tuned. Dipper number 3 coming up. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. And I mean to say, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, even parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, I got to tell you folks, ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions been with us since this show started. Man, I'm just saying, ZLA Solutions is doing an epic good job at putting jobs and people together. So if you're looking for a job, go to their website, zlausa.com, and you can check out all the job postings they have all over North Alabama and beyond. But if you're also an employer and you need people to fill out the ranks of your workforce, and I don't care, y'all, if it's just like onesies and twosies with special niche skills that are hard to find, or if you need a whole shift of people to work the line at the factory, or whatever the case may be, they do all of that. They can get you temporary staff. They can get you direct hire permanent staff, recruiting, background checks, drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. This is what they do. They like to say at ZLA, they like to say, we don't make it, we make it better. That's their mission in life, is to help you make your business better. So check them out, their website, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. These are friends of mine. I know them personally. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And then, by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, I'm going to jump into this one's going to get some response. By the way, I am keenly aware of the fact that this day has gotten away from us. The text line is like filled up with people. I will try to get some of those done, but man, I apologize for all y'all that are texting in, but when we got like close to 1,000 people in the mix, it's kind of hard to keep up. All right, so number 3 of the Triple Dipper, drug wars. So I saw a piece yesterday. It was really something. You know, Dave Chappelle, who is hilarious, who is foul-mouthed, but he is hilarious. Dave Chappelle has been very outspoken against wokeness, against, you know, progressives that are thinking that they got it going on when really all they're doing is just making a mockery of life. And I don't think for a second that he's a conservative, but he ain't woke. But he loves San Francisco. He calls it his second home. Story came out yesterday on Fox News that Dave Chappelle was in San Francisco, and he apparently does these pop-ins sometimes where he'll just go to a local comedy club, and he'll just pop in and say, hey, man, can I go on stage? And he'll just go up there and do his thing, you know, random show. It, like, you know, that's the comedy version of having Eric Clapton show up at your blues, you know, club. But he got up there and talked the other night, and he was kind of chastising liberal leadership in San Francisco. Not kind of, he was. And he even said, what the blank happened to this place? He said he had been walking into one of his favorite restaurants in an area of the town called the Tenderloin District, and that a homeless guy defecated on the sidewalk right in front of him, right outside the restaurant. He's like, what is going on here? And he said, San Francisco has devolved into being like half Glee and half zombie movie. And he went on to say, y'all just need a Batman. Batman, come in there and clean up the streets. Well, that got me to thinking, what are we going to see in terms of fighting back in the drug wars? Because San Francisco, we're losing the city of San Francisco. And while it may frustrate me, its politics, it is a beautiful place, and it is part of our country. But it is turning into a festering sore. And a lot of what's going on there is drug-related. And then you look south at the border, and you see the poorest aspect of our southern border right now, with zero, you know, ability to stem the tide of drug trafficking. I mean, put aside the millions and millions of people that have come across our border illegally. Put aside the human traffic for a minute. Put aside the people that die at the hands of coyotes and the women and children that are raped at the hands of these coyotes and drug cartels. Let's just talk about the drug aspect. Fentanyl right now is killing American kids at a rate unheard of. Fentanyl has become one of these scourges of our society. It may wind up proving itself to be one of the most deadly drugs to ever hit the streets. Fentanyl is ravaging an entire population. Upwards of 80 to 90,000, I believe, overdosed in the last couple of years. Can you imagine? What if ISIS came to the United States and killed 80 to 90,000 people? We would go to war. What if, for that matter, one terrorist came to the United States, not even part of a major group, and we realized that terrorist had the capacity to kill 80 or 90,000 Americans? We would put every resource into finding it. It'd be like an episode of 24. Everything's on the table. Get it done. But we have a southern border right now where things are coming across at just an amazing rate. And I have to question, when do we see it as being enough is enough? When do we look at it and go, our national security, it's not just about Chinese nationals coming across our border. It's not just about, we don't know where that Afghan guy came from who was on the terror watch list, who just showed up at our southern border the other day. That happened. No, what about the fact that our national security is in part being completely mitigated by the drug trafficking, to include fentanyl? When is it enough that you say, you know what, we have the finest military in the world. We have precision strike capability. We have the ability to go ahead and blow up a drug lab and make a point. When do we do that? I would suggest we're already there. You may recall the movie, it was based off the Tom Clancy book, Clear and Present Danger. Clear and Present Danger was actually my favorite Clancy book for the longest time, because they pulled a guy out of the old 7th ID who was a sniper and made him into an operative, and he went and laid on the target, and they brought in a Tomahawk cruise missile and took out a drug lord's mansion while he was having a birthday party with his kids. Too bad for his luck. Well, the movie, the undercurrent was the outrage that government would think that is their role. I got news. It may be the government's role. It may be time. Well, right now, story in the Washington Examiner came out yesterday. Bipartisan bill would empower the Pentagon to take down Mexican drug cartels pushing fentanyl. How about this? Senators Joni Ernst, Republican from Iowa, and Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia, shared exclusively with the Washington Examiner just yesterday that they have a forthcoming piece of bipartisan and bicameral bill. Bipartisan meaning two parties, both parties are involved. Bicameral meaning House and Senate support. To use their oversight authority of the Department of Defense to force the federal government to take stronger actions against Mexican transnational criminal organizations. They say the amount of lives lost in Iowa and across the country due to this deadly drug has far surpassed the federal government's response. We must scale immediately to combat this national security threat. This is Joni Ernst saying this. This bipartisan work will engage Mexico as an active partner to counter fentanyl trafficking and put the Pentagon's tools to use to save American lives. Now, they may be looking at the Pentagon's, you know, opportunity for overhead imagery and assisting the Mexican government. But I don't trust the Mexican government to get it done, to be honest. I don't. Why? Because we're at the lowest level of cooperation we've ever seen from the Mexican government. And you know, President Lopez Obrador, he believes, in his own words, this is our problem. I got news, sir. It's our problem, but it's coming from your house. So here's the thing. If my kids are playing in my yard at the house, and somebody's dog comes out of the neighbor's house and runs across and bites my kid in my yard, it became my problem at that point. But guess what? It came from your house. You and I are going to have a talk. You and I are going to deal with it. Well, what we're seeing right now is Mexico's taking a very hands-off approach. So I'm just saying it may be time for far more than, and I'm not talking about a massive incursion, crossing the border, sending troops. No, I'm not talking about that. But I am saying this. Put them on notice. You assist, or guess what? There's going to be one major drug lab. We're going to find it, and we're going to Tomahawk missile that bad boy. We're going to put a J-dam right in the middle of it. And if you're there when it happens, it's too bad for your luck, but you're making drugs that are killing our kids. You blow up one lab, I guarantee you it's a whole new day. Let me jump on the phone real quick. I got line one, Sparky from Harvest. Spark, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm awesome. I agree with the spirit of what you're saying, and in fact, if I were the commander in chief for a day, one of the first things I would do would be take out every known drug lab in Mexico and China, and I think we know where they are. I would take out all the cartel heads, all the heads of the cartels, because we know exactly where they are. We've got people embedded with them. But to your in point of your entire monologue, I couldn't help but be struck by the smirking arrogance of the current administration, as they like to phrase this as a crisis or a border problem that's all the Republicans' fault. Yeah, sure, but the complete lack of conscience that's possible with these people, Biden and his handlers, who have allowed millions and millions of people to come across at great human cost to the travelers, but also to our economy, our safety. Having lost a personal friend to a fentanyl overdose myself, I take it very personal, everything you said. There's a complete and utter lack of moral values and conscience with somebody who would have all those people in here so that they can make them citizens someday soon and then give them all the right to vote, hoping that they'll vote Democrat for life. That's all it is. The ends justify the means for these people, and a lot of people don't believe in the concept of evil. This is evil. There is no other word for it. They don't care. They're not compassionate about these immigrants. They want to use them as pawns to vote with a D after the candidate's name, period. It's unconscionable.
Wow. Sparky, man, sorry for the loss of your friend, but you put that in some clear language. Brother, I got one more call for the break. I appreciate you, all right?
Okay, appreciate you.
Thanks, bye, man. Hey, I'll take that call. I got about a minute for the break. Oh, is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
Stuck in traffic like usual.
Oh, no. All right. Well, how's your day been otherwise?
Oh, not too bad otherwise, but Nashville's always fun. but you know, the thing about it is on this drug stuff, I hate to say it, but with all these fentanyl deaths and everything, it might be, you know, these people that did die, maybe it's a deterrent to some people that, you know, with so little fentanyl used, would take to make to kill somebody, and if you don't know exactly where the drugs come from and you don't know what you're taking, It hopefully will deter some people from taking it just out of fear that they might die.
Well, I mean, it's reasonable, but you know, I remember I used to work at a drug and alcohol treatment center, and there was somebody that said once, unhealthy people do not make healthy decisions, and that's the problem. Is once you're jonesing for that stuff, you almost get desperate, and you put aside any and all inhibitions, and you just get wherever you can, and it's sad.
That's true, but what I'm hoping is it'll take the people who's not hooked on anything or not, you know, will deter them from experimenting. You know, when they, you know, everybody knows somebody, but there's been so many deaths that everybody knows somebody that's died of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that will open some eyes and keep some kids from starting to on a bad path.
Absolutely. Hey, Jeff Rowe, I'm up against a break, brother. You be safe on the road, man. Safe getting home.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too, buddy. All right. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. Put a lid on this one. Got a little bit more on this idea of drug war because it's not the first time we've had this conversation. There's even, by the way, considered to be a military-style drug war going on in San Francisco as we speak. And Representative Dan Crenshaw and Representative Mike Waltz have already introduced their own versions. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. What a great show this has been. Hey, I got to tell you folks, the Elm Foundation, they've been with us now for about a month, and they're kind of a cool organization based out of Huntsville, a 501c3, the Elm Foundation, ELM. It stands for Expect Little Miracles. And the Elm Foundation is doing some pretty crazy cool work, getting people off the streets, helping them restore their self-worth, getting them back into society, you know, becoming productive members of the local community with jobs and job skills and certifications. And listen, all of it's being done by providing accountability, by providing a plan, by providing programs that help people to get those job skills they need. And it's just going so well. So I want you to check them out. Their website is ElmHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. That's the Elm Foundation, ELMHSV.org. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Hey, wrapping up this discussion on drug wars. This is a big one. I could have done a whole hour on this. Story here on NBC News. Headline, drug war cooperation between the U.S. and Mexico is at its lowest points in decades. What went wrong? What went wrong? The Biden administration. That's what went wrong. The Biden administration has zero leverage. We have Matthew Donahue, quoted in the article, who retired after 3 decades with the DEA, he says the cooperation is almost non-existent right now. And the biggest problem, he said, is corruption in Mexico and how it's infiltrated so many levels of their government. He said, this is the worst it's ever been in Mexico, he said. What's frustrating is we know where the traffickers are, but the U.S. government's been unable to persuade Mexico to act. So all that operational intelligence gathering is wasted. All right, so if operational intelligence is not going to work, if the Biden administration's, you know, open borders not going to work, then the next question you have to ask yourself is, at what point do we authorize the use of military force? Well, I told you there's a bill being floated right now, bipartisan bill, that would allow for the Disrupt Fentanyl Trafficking Act. It would require the Pentagon to develop a fentanyl-specific counter-drug agent strategy, including how to work directly with the Mexican military. However, what about just unilateral action? I mean, if the Mexican government is so corrupt, I mean, if you remember, Manuel Noriega in Panama is no longer in charge. Why is that? Because 2nd Ranger Battalion and the 82nd Airborne Division went down yonder and had a day. And I'm not saying we go to war with Mexico. I'm not saying that at all. So those of y'all that are going to try and quote me on the one-offs, I am not saying go to war with Mexico. But what I am saying is this. If the fentanyl narco traffickers from the Sinaloa cartel are going to continue to put together the drugs that kill our kids and walk them across the border with impunity, that perhaps it's time we take out a drug lab and send a signal that that will no longer be allowed. A piece here I got off of Dan Crenshaw's website. Dan Crenshaw, the former Navy SEAL who now serves in Congress, and Mike Waltz, the former Army Green Beret who also serves in Congress from Florida, they introduced joint legislation in January of this year. And I don't know where it is now. It's probably nowhere because, you know, it's, you know, Biden land. But it created the authorization for use of military force to target Mexican drug cartels. And here's Dan Crenshaw's quote. You ready? Quote, "The cartels are at war with us, poisoning more than 80,000 Americans with fentanyl every year, creating a crisis at our border and turning Mexico into a failed narco state. It's time we directly target them. My legislation will put us at war with the cartels by authorizing the use of military force against the cartels. We cannot allow heavily armed and deadly cartels to destabilize Mexico and import people and drugs into the United States. We must start treating them like ISIS, because that's who they are." So if it passed, the authorization for use of military force allows the president to use military force against the cartels, their trafficking, their production, their distribution. I'm just saying, folks, I think we're there. Boom shakalaka, what a good day it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got it done today, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We got dicey. We got calling people's resignations.
Yes.
Just getting crazy. All right, folks, listen, we do this because of y'all. We love the fact that we got such a loyal audience, just an amazingly large loyal audience. And anyway, we're going to keep doing what we do. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, get out there, say the right things to the right people, and make a dent in your own neighborhood. Because that's what right-side ruffians do. We don't sit idly by. Ain't no sheep in this audience. A whole bunch of sheepdogs is what we got. And you know it's true. Look at some of the text messages we get. It's pretty obvious. But listen, we love you. We appreciate you. And you guys have an amazing, amazing night. We'll be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Take care.